May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When I sat down to write this sermon, the first thing that really struck me was the number of times that the word love appears in today's readings. If I counted correctly, it's 9 times in the Gospel alone. Love. Is there any word in the English language, or any language for that matter, that is so casually tossed around? Think of a number of ways or occasions when you might use the word love. You might say you love someone or something. I love my husband. I love that book. I love my parents. I love Jesus. I love a cup of tea. I love my friends. I love my church family. I love my dog. I love you. How many kinds of love do you suppose I've just named there? The Inuit people, they have about 30 words for the word snow, depending on its consistency. We have one word, snow. We have one word for love, but perhaps we need many because there are many meanings. C.S. Lewis describes love exhaustively in his book, The Four Loves, in which he categorises love in, well, 4 ways. I'm not convinced that you can categorise love so tidily, but it does help to start somewhere. The first love Lewis describes is affection. This is the love he says we have in common with the animal world. It's the kind of love we see described in our New Testament reading. Affection is the love that a parent has for its child and a child for its parents. It's the kind of need love and giving love all wrapped up into one. The parent gives to the child and needs to give to the child. The child needs the parent's giving, and the child's need is kind of a gift to the parent. Our love for God is a need love, like a child for its parent. God is all fullness, and we, by comparison, are all need. We need God's love, like air in our lungs, blood in our veins, or food in our stomachs. Next, Lewis describes friendship. He says that friendship is not essential to our existence. It is the least natural love, and it is not born out of any instinct or biological need. Friendship is freely chosen. We are not compelled into it by our own emotional or physical needs. For this reason, in the ancient world, it was considered the most important love, and the kind of love that elevates us above the animal world. Of course, the word love is most frequently associated with romantic love. Lewis calls this eros. As he puts it, it is the kind of love that lovers are in. It claims us, it possesses us, it feels bigger than we are. Think of Romeo's words as he gazes up at the balcony. What light from yonder window breaks? It is the east and Juliet is the sun. These are not the words of someone who is just simply attracted to someone. Romeo's love has taken possession of his very soul. Romeo has, as Lewis puts it, a general unspecified preoccupation with her in her totality. Finally, we come to the love which Lewis calls charity. We tend to associate the word charity with charitable giving and receiving, and as such, it has taken on a slightly negative connotation. Being on the end of charity can be a source of shame, but this is not the kind of charity that Lewis means when he talks of it in his book. Lewis is talking of charity in the biblical sense of the word, charity as love. This is the kind of love that Jesus is talking about in today's gospel, when he says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." What kind of love is this? This is God love. The love Jesus is talking about is the kind that gives of itself completely and utterly. It is the kind of love that gives up all the power in the universe to become a puny human being. It is the kind of love that gives up its own life so that someone else can live. When Jesus is telling us to love one another, he isn't talking about having affection for one another, although you can have that. He isn't talking about being in love with one another, although you can have that as well. He isn't even talking about having really true, deep friendships with one another, although we may be fortunate to have those as well. Jesus is talking about a love that transcends all the other loves, because it is ready to give of itself totally, wildly and extravagantly, without hope of ever receiving anything in return. It is ready to give even at the risk of its own welfare, of its own life. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And this is what we are called to as followers of Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you. Now, I realise that we are only human beings. And as such, this is a standard of behaviour that is utterly unattainable. Even Saint Augustine himself confessed in his writings to a certain fallibility in this regard, saying that he was far too weak to have such a love for anyone other than God. So where on earth do we begin? Well, I have a radical solution for you. Why not begin by doing absolutely nothing? Why not begin by not trying to figure out how to achieve the impossible in matching the intense, all-out giving love of God in Jesus Christ? Why not begin by receiving it? Let it seep in and sink down into our hearts, our souls, and our bodies. Why not begin by trying to understand that the good news really does apply to us? Why not begin by seeing what it really feels like to abide in God's love? I have some recent experience of this. At the beginning of the pandemic, when we went into lockdown for the first time, I decided to take on a regular practice of daily prayer and scripture reading. Understand that this is something I've always aspired to, but we work wildly irregular hours, and reading the Bible whilst driving up the M20 at 4 o'clock in the morning is not very easy. So I set up my sacred space, resolved to get up earlier in the day and spend time in quiet prayer and the reading of scripture, both before breakfast in the morning and then again later in the day after dinner in the evening. One day last summer, I can't remember exactly when it was, but I was reading chapter 6 of the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, and verses 2 and 3 really spoke to me. It says, "For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found in our ministry." When I read these words, something inside me woke up and opened my eyes to the possibility that it might be just time for me to trust in these words, that now is the acceptable time. It just might be time to see what it felt like to abide in God's love. And I began to make plans to share the fullness of who I am with you. And so today you know a little bit more about me. And today I feel so very blessed to say that I know more about the love of God than I did this time last year. I know that the love of God shines in all your faces. I know that the love of God echoes in all your words. I know that the love of God bridges barriers that we may have thought insurmountable. I have seen the love of God show itself in Zoom chats, in emails, in telephone calls, and in the face-to-face chats that, quite frankly, came a little bit of a rarity this last year. And I also know this, that the love of God does not guarantee there will be no difficult times, but it does promise to abide with us through all those times. The love of God does not guarantee there will be no pain and suffering, but it does promise to abide with us, even in the deepest depths of our despair. Near the end of today's gospel reading, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." I believe that for the last year, God has chosen to bring us closer together. God has brought us closer together to do his work, to bear, as Jesus says, fruit that will last. And I believe that God has work for us to do. I don't know what that work is. Perhaps you do, perhaps you don't. But together we can discern God's plan for us and for our community. But the first thing I believe God wants is this. He wants us to know, to understand the wild, extravagant love he has for us. That love that gives of itself totally, completely and utterly. That God love. The love in which we can abide, in which we can trust, and in which we can work together in his name. Amen.